This is part two of the interview with Joe Martin.
Have you tried to set up autoresponders or an automated sequence of information to go out by text?
Yeah, there is some systems out there that we're actually in the middle of testing right now. So I don't have a full report on that, but yeah, that absolutely. It's all about the timed interval. And that speaking of that, even on the email side of things, I mean, we have software that we use that does, track, open rates and click-throughs and all that, and does timed interval auto responses. I mean, that's a key element, going back to what I said earlier, which was about the fortune being in the follow-up. I mean, just because you have somebody that gives you a name and email, I mean, there's ways to go and find out, the people's, phone, and alternatively their email. I mean, Google is a wonderful thing, and then put them into your sequence of follow-up. And the follow-up, see, is not just email follow-up anymore. It's video. I mean, video, that's the biggie, Get out there and, talking about tech savvy, I mean, video is huge.
When you say video, what do you mean by video?
Well, like video follow-up with video email, where you embed, video in your follow-up email. I mean, we're developing a done-for-you kind of solution that we're going to launch to the agents, and as well as, some personal training and that kind of thing, as far as the REO and this and some other different areas with marketing and all that we'll be getting out here pretty soon. But video email, where you're embedding a video where people can, it'll just actually start playing when people open up their email. Or they can click on it and go somewhere else.
And what is the actual video itself? What are people seeing when they open up their email, or what are they seeing?
Well, they're going to see, me, for example, talking as the team leader and providing some quality information. That's the thing that people are wanting, and where they're going to get quality information. It's not about just sending an email, no different than what I was saying before. It's about providing information that's valuable and building that rapport through being of service. And then that's how I think you earn people's business.
So you're talking about a standard pre-designed video that solves a problem or adds value, and it's sent out in this auto sequence. That's what you mean by video email. Is that correct?
The video that's going to go in the email is going to be more of an introduction where, hey, I'm Joe Martin, Remax Diamond, and, et cetera, et cetera. And, thanks for the inquiry, and talking about if the information that they have, they can get available that will then lead them to a website if they click through, which is all trackable, and we try to identify whether or not they're a buyer or they're a seller, and then that will provide a different sequence of follow-up. But that sequence of follow-up then will be, buyer or seller related based on their decision. And that will have information within there in a video format, as well as PDFs of information that they can utilize, to say, for example, mistakes that buyers, the 10 top mistakes that buyers should avoid, making, or et cetera, et cetera.
Basically, what you're doing is changing the mode of delivery. Instead of sending them a text file, you want to send them a video.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard from some of the agents around the country, they're getting into the idea of recording a video instead of typing text. It's a very specific video to the one recipient, stating their name, and it's just usually a quick 30-second or 60-second video you're doing on your webcam, and that's the email that you're sending off. Have you started to do any of that?
I haven't done any of that directly, but that is, I'm familiar with that, absolutely. And it works really well from the people that I've talked to.
Yeah, because it's not only video, it's specific. It's to the individual.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, I know one person that started doing that, and his response rates went from really low to nearly 100%.
You've been exposed to that technology side when you were working in the auto industry, and so it sounds like you're trying to take some of those concepts and apply them to the real estate side.
Yeah, I mean, this is all new, mostly new stuff, though. I mean, with the technology that we've got now, I mean, back then they didn't have a lot of this stuff that we have, in today's market.
You've mentioned sincerity before. Could you tell us more about your concept of sincerity?
Well, I think sincerity comes from just being yourself and being real. I mean, you don't have to pretend to be anybody else but who you really are. And it's something I always train, the agents and the salespeople that I work with throughout my career is that true success really begins when you genuinely and honestly begin to care about the person on the other side of the desk. And it's not about your wallet. What it's about is filling the need of the other person and being a good listener. And that's really the key element. And until you can do that, similar to what I've been saying about even about getting hired with, asset managers and things like that, I mean, it's not just about you. It's about, hey, how can you help them? How can you be of service? It's an amazing thing when you go and you pass out a card and telling somebody that, hey, if let me know how if there's any way that I can be of service. And that's just not, business-wise. I mean, that's personally. And it's amazing when you just become a little bit transparent about who you are, where you've been, and what you've been doing, that people will, open up and begin to respond to you appropriately. I mean, you just have to care and be genuine. That's the big thing for me. And I think that's one of the deals that if people can do that it makes a big, big difference. I mean, I'm the guy that was like when I was in the car business. I mean, I used to sell, 45, vehicles every month. I mean, if 20 would be a good month, a really good month. And I was selling 45 with a high of 63, and I ended up doing a corporate. I was the corporate internet, fleet director, setting up all these things, and I'm doing 600 a month with a big team. Of course, they decided to integrate things, and I got out of the business back into retail, and I knew that wouldn't work, and it didn't. So when they wanted to me to rebuild that for them, I decided to get back into real estate, which was my passion anyway, and. The fact is, everybody always says, "God, how do you do that?" And how I did it was by, being sincere. I mean, especially in that business. I mean, that was the last thing I ever wanted to do was, be a car guy. But I wasn't your guy that stood out on the railing there with like the vultures that everybody looks at those people like. I was the guy who went out there and figured out a way to have people be able to come in and avoid the normal back and forth of the traditional car selling, which everybody hates. So I was in the office mostly, and people would come in past all these guys, and they used to always get mad. Like, gosh, I mean, a lot of times they would even try to, what they call, they'd try to escape me on some of the deals, and I'd find out that it was somebody else. So they would always ask, like, how do you do that? And it was just because of the simple fact that I listened and provided a way for people to have a good experience. And one that was straight up, not playing the game. Nobody likes to do that. I mean, and of course, one of the reasons that I really switched into real estate is because of the fact that it was not about just the commissions. See, like in the car business, you get paid based on the gross commissions that you earn. Where on real estate, it's really not that way. I mean, obviously, there's different levels, and you get paid on that, but what it's about is being able to fulfill somebody's dream, and that's huge. That's a big deal where, I'd rather be fulfilling dreams than worrying about, how much gross profit I can make.
Joe, you mentioned earlier that you don't do all this by yourself. You have a team. Could you walk us down the team members that you have, not by the personal names, but more by the positions so we can get a picture of structure? Could you name the positions on your team and what each of those positions does?
We have an REO manager, which pretty much oversees, the entire, operation, making sure that everything is, in place. And then we have our transaction manager that handles all the transactions. Depending on volume, we'll have an extra position where they just do offers. And the inventory is down right now, so we don't have that position because it's able to be combined with one of the others. But the transactional manager handles offers as well as, you know, the transactions from contract to close. You know, there's a pre-marketing vendor manager, which handles everything from pre-marketing all the way to contract. Then we have field help, two field guys that take photos, do weekly inspections, do occupancy checks, do the cash for keys to begin with, and then we end up going at the final delivery in that. Then we have, you know, an inside salesperson that handles, you know, the incoming phone calls and begins the incubation process for the incoming prospective people that are interested in buying or selling. And then we have buyer's agents, multiple buyer's agents, and some are crossovers, and we have listing agents that will go out and, you know, list the homes. But the buyer's agents mainly focus and, you know, are generally quite busy with prospective inquiries. So they mainly focus on the buyer portion. And then we have the in-house staff that handles all of the transaction, after they turn in the contract and watching it through escrow. And we have a BPO valuation manager that does a lot of the data research and pulling, you know, a lot of the comps. And then, of course, we look those over and review those and make sure that everything's proper. And because, you know, we're graded by that. And that's a key element, particularly on the listing, you know, BPOs, because you have to keep a certain number, a certain percentage to the, you know, final sales price, or, you know, it's going to affect your scorecard. And, you know, my youngest son, he's a partner in the business. I used to have another partner, and then he's left and went to Denver because he's a younger guy and his parents are getting older. He's going to be the noble son. And so I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to work with my youngest son here directly. And he's became quite an excellent agent. He handles a lot of that operation side. And we have an operations manager that helps on the marketing as well. So that kind of is the rundown.
You mentioned inside salesperson. What does that person do? To define that a little more for us?
Well, you know, your outside salesperson would be kind of your buyer agent. The inside salesperson is one who, you know, you have incoming calls, and they're going to take those incoming calls and begin to try and determine, you know, what the people's needs are and put them into whatever sales funnel that they would fit, and or connect them directly with one of the buyer's agents to set up a showing or something to that nature. And monitor, you know, a lot of the follow-up to make sure that is happening, you know, properly. And phoning and helping to phone, because, you know, agents are out busy selling houses, and a lot of times that follow-up is something that falls a bit short. So having somebody in-house that's what they're doing makes a big difference and helps improve the conversion.
So the inside salesperson is taking in the lead and following up and incubating that lead. Is there a distinctive handoff between the inside salesperson and the buyer's agent? What is that handoff?
Well, yeah, there is in the sense that when those people are calling in, most of them are calling in off of a sign, or, you know, some people come in through the internet. Actually, quite a few come in through the internet, where it's name and email and that kind of thing. So it just depends on that situation as far as the handoff goes. I mean, some of those handoffs will happen immediately, where they'll be transferred directly after determining what they're trying to do. Maybe they want to see a home, set up a showing, that kind of thing, and we'll put them into contact or set up an appointment directly to come in the office and meet the agent and then, you know, hand it off that way. Or we'll hand it off directly by transferring the call directly to connect with the agent. So they can, you know, set up the appointment to do the showing.
So it sounds like the transition is when the prospect is ready to either look at a home, do a showing, or a buyer presentation. Does the lead ever go back to the inside salesperson after that time, or at that point is the lead now with the buyer agent?
No, it stays. It's kind of in a dual role when there hasn't been. Maybe it's been passed off for some of the follow-up directly, so it goes around, but the inside salesperson is still doing some of the follow-up as well. We have automated follow-up that's going to happen as far as if it's just on the email, but they're helping out on the phone follow-up. And everybody's making notes in a centralized database so they know, you know, who's done what. That's the whole key here.
What is that database? Are you using a specific software?
We use Infusionsoft. I mean, we have TopReducer, and we have used, you know, others like WiseAgent and things like that. But the one that we're using currently is Infusionsoft because it does what I was saying earlier, which it tracks, you know, open rates and click-throughs and that type of thing. So, I mean, that's information that you'd kind of like to know. I mean, if you sent out emails, you'd kind of like to know if the people opened it or if they clicked on a certain link. That's kind of nice to know. At least it helps you know, I mean, who has at least some level of interest.
How do you compensate this inside salesperson?
We pay them a salary plus a percentage of the deals that are closed.
Is your team profitable?
Yeah, it is. It's based on volume. So when the volume dips, obviously the profitability, you know, goes along with that because you have some basic, you know, labor costs, which is one of those things, which is a scalable, unfortunately, a scalable situation sometimes where we've been in, you know, over the last, you know, say 6 or 7 years, I mean, we've had to have, you know, some turnover when the sales has dipped with some of the staffing. We have a tendency to staff heavy because we want to make sure that we have top-notch customer service, and not just to our clients, but also to the realtor community. Because, for example, you know, you have 73 offers, you're going to get a lot of calls from a lot of realtors wanting to know what's going on in their offers. Well, you've got to manage those. And what happens, unlike a lot of agents, we answer the phone, you can get through to us, and you can get the information that you need about availability, whether or not the property is available, and whether or not, you know, what's going on with your offer, that kind of thing. And so that ends up, you know, costing a little bit more as far as labor goes, but I think it's a key element. We have a lot of people, a lot of other agents even comment on that. You know, I think it helps us keep the turnover of the properties at a higher rate because they like to do business with us. So, yeah, profitability is there. It just is, you know, scalable depending upon volume, which is, you know, part of my job as the rainmaker is to make sure that things are constantly coming in and we're producing leads and converting.
Would you mind disclosing what your profit margin is on your team as a percentage of your revenues?
Well, here's the thing. If you're an individual conducting business, you're going to have expenses. You got to buy signs, you got to buy lock boxes. You're going to do all the things that you would normally hire to do. So what you have to do is pencil out all those things and figure out how much, you know, you're worth per hour, and then decide if it's worth your time to do it. Like, say your hourly rate for yourself is, you know, $100. Well, if you can hire somebody for $15 and pay them, then obviously that would be a good choice because now you can focus on the things that you're making $100 an hour on. Well, a person by themselves are going to have all these certain expenses, no different than a team. It's just going to be a scalable situation. This is probably a long-winded answer to what you're asking me, but I'm trying to give you some insight on some other things here as well. I guess the long and short is a person by themselves are going to carry probably to do it right with the right advertising, the right marketing, they're going to probably spend somewhere around 30 to 35, you know, percent. And on the REO side, they might spend anywhere from 5 to 10% more of their GCI to keep things going. I mean, keeping in mind that, you know, on the REO side, you know, we have to carry a lot of those costs up front too. So we've got to factor all that in. You know, which, I mean, every home, you got to figure somewhere around $2,500 to $3,000 that you're going to be carrying on that home as far as getting reimbursed on some of the things that you've got to, you know, pay up front for.
So on a big team, what's a good either expense per set or profit margin?
Yeah, that's going to be, I think that's what I was saying, somewhere around 60% to, you know, probably a high of 70%. Percent as far as the as that goes. I mean, we spend as high as, you know, 50% on some cases to produce you know, the volume. But I spend a lot on advertising and marketing, and I spend a lot on, like I say, on the labor. And then there's a lot of times where I'll carry the labor rather than having turnover.
Are you saying your profit margin is around 50%?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if you made a million dollars, then you're going to probably net out somewhere around, half of that.
That is really good. Yeah, congratulations. Joe, why have you been so successful?
I've been blessed with success. Here's the thing. I'm 18 years clean and sober. So I'm a living miracle, really. And the fact is, people ask me that, and it's the same answer that I give all the time, and it's the fact that my success began when I hit my knees. And I'm not going to get all spiritual on you, but what I'm going to say is that that's the true facts for me. I've had multiple struggles throughout my life, and one of those just happened to be in that arena. And when I really got outside of myself and began to, kind of give up absolutely, so to speak, and things began to happen for me and begin really ultimately being successful. Like I said, once I began to really care about the person on the other side of the desk, then things really, really began to happen. That's when true success really began for me.
Had that not always been true?
No, I've always been somewhat successful in everything that I've done based on what I learned even as a kid. But I don't think the real pinnacle of success for me began until, I had this kind of epiphany, of sorts.
You've mentioned self-inspiration and this concept of inspirational dissatisfaction. What does that mean?
Inspirational dissatisfaction is when, for example, something that you're doing and you're doing it over and over again, of course, that's, and you're getting the same result. Of course, that's a definition of insanity too, but it's kind of like you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you become inspired by the fact that you're dissatisfied with maybe where you're at, what you're doing, and instead of just accepting that, you become inspired by doing that, and then make the decisions and start doing the things necessary in order to create what I would call a burning desire. And when you have a burning desire to accomplish something, you can do anything that you want to do and accomplish any goal that you want to do if you set your mind to it. There's really nothing that you can't, as long as, there's some limitations. I'm probably not going to become a doctor, at this point in my life, but that's not one of my goals. But if you really set your mind to doing something, I believe that you can by, continuing to step forward and never giving up. A lot of that comes from, it's what I call inspirational dissatisfaction. If you don't like where you're at, then something's got to change. You're going to be getting what you're getting, either whether good or bad, if you continue doing the same thing over and over again. So you're going to have to make some changes. And a lot of those changes are going to come from changing your mindset. Attitude is everything. This is the whole key to my success, is I have always had a never give up attitude. Even as a young child, going door from door selling Christmas cards, and selling newspaper subscriptions and everything else, I have always just never given up. And throughout my life, it's just been many times where I could have easily just thrown my hands in the air and said, "Hey, this is it." Case in point, I was, married for 25 years, and unfortunately, that broke apart based on an affair that my wife had, and that's a deal breaker for me. And the fact is, then I had built a team, and then I had to rebuild the team because it broke apart in the middle of all this. I went to one of I was working with one of the other companies, and I landed their Freddie Mac account and brought it to them with the full understanding that was going to be, we were going to be working on that account. And after several months, it didn't work out that way. And so the only way to get that back was to become an owner. So we ended up opening up our own place, and 6 months later had the Freddie Mac account back in our lap. Well, I could have just gave up, but I became inspirationally dissatisfied and went and did something about it. That's a good example of that, I suppose.
And so you bump into a problem, and you're going to be driven to find a solution.
Yeah, I think in a simpler form, that's exactly right.
Joe, how do you keep control of your time?
Well, that's a $40 question. that's probably the hardest thing for me is that, you know, I do work a lot. I mean, my wife says, my new bride says, we've been all married almost 5 years. I met her online, beautiful woman and a very nice lady. She says I'm a workaholic, and I'm in denial of that. But the fact is, I probably am. I work a lot. You know how I control my time is I close the door and I focus. I mean, I've got three screens in front of me, and I'm not bound by, you know, the phone. I have a staff that helps me on the phone, that helps, you know, screen the calls. I mean, you know, I learned this, you know, from Dan Kennedy, the great copywriter and marketer. The fact is, you've got to be able to control, you know, some of the inflow of the calls. Obviously, you know, we're talking to asset managers, and I've got them, you know, on speed dial. So I know when somebody's calling me, that's an asset manager, people that I need to talk to directly. But you have to control some of that inflow and not be totally controlled by, you know, whether it's email and jumping around and all this kind of stuff. And you have to eventually get to that point where you get some help. And that goes back to that, hey, how much is your time worth type things, and where are you going to focus? I mean, you got to focus on things that are going to be making, you know, making you money, and you got to have balance. I mean, you do have to have balance in life, and that's probably my biggest challenge is that, you know, I'm just so driven to always, you know, be the best and everything else that, you know, I have that tendency personally to be imbalanced, and but, you know, that's just me and my workaholism and my denial of that.
How many hours do you work in a typical week?
Too many is probably the answer. I work, I mean, it varies. It just depends. Here's what I know about working is that, hey, I've always been taught, like from my Midwestern grandparents who I grew up with, that you make hay while the sun shines. And so when there's work to be had and there's things that need to be done, you got to put in the time and effort to do that. I probably work, you know, 60 hours a week, something like that, you know, give or take. But it's not all at one time. It's not like I sit here and, hey, one day, you know, I'm here 10, 12 hours in one day, and, hey, maybe the next day I'm here, you know, 7 or 8 hours. And I balance it out where I am, you know, making, you know, I don't live far away. So, you know, a lot of times I'll, you know, stop in, you know, the house and stuff like that. And the beauty of the internet is and technology today is you can hop on that, whether you're got your iPad or your mobile phone or you're at home on a desktop, or I'm logging in from home, or I'm here in the office, you know, on the phone, you know, or in front of the screens, you know. But, you know, I do have to be balanced. I mean, I got 4 kids that are all grown. I got 8 grandkids. So, you know, I work that in too, so I don't paint the wrong picture here. I mean, because the fact is, you know, I go to ball games. I don't go to all the ball games because I just have the demands of work. And, you know, a lot of people are depending upon, you know, me to keep things, you know, rolling. And plus, I really enjoy what I'm doing, and I enjoy helping others. I really enjoy watching people and helping people to become successful. That's one of the reasons that we're starting up this realestatepersonaltrainer.com thing, is because we want to get some of this stuff out to other people that has proven to be very successful, that works in the marketplace. So that's what we're going to do here. We're ramping that up now.
What is this realestatepersonaltrainer.com?
Yeah, it's a new website that we're developing, that we're going to provide, you know, personal training, you know, on, you know, everything from REO to some done-for-you solutions with, you know, follow-up and things like that, that people can actually utilize that have, you know, proven successful for me over the years.
Is this internal? Is this internal to just the people in your company, or are you pushing this out to the market? What's going on there?
No, we're actually going to push it out to the market. We had started to do this on an internal basis, and there's just been such a demand of the people that we've talked to really get some of this information that has proven to be very successful, that we decided to really just put it out to all the people and all the agents that, you know, really would want to be wherever they're at, really.
And is that up and running yet?
No, not up and running. The domain we have, and it's, you know, under construction, but we're going to have a lot of video training, you know, PDF, you know, actually even personal contact, where we're going to have, I'm going to have a personal Skype group where people can get to personal direction, you know, through the Skype.
That sounds great. I can't wait to hear more about that when it comes online.
Sure, I'll let you know.
Joe, if you were to advise a brand new agent just getting in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
What I would tell an agent who was just getting into the business, and what I do tell agents, is I tell them one of my famous quotes, which is, hey, if you're getting into this business to try to be successful, then you might as well not even begin. Because try is a noncommittal word that justifies mediocrity and failure. I mean, you've already given yourself the excuse up front to fail, because after all, you just tried. There is no trying. The thing is, you can't try this on for size. You're either going to be successful or you're not. You have to make that decision. And let's face it, when self-doubt runs in the front door, success runs out the back. And this, what I see from new agents, that they get into the business and then, you know, a month down the road or 2 weeks or however long it takes, all of a sudden this self-doubt starts creeping in, and when they don't have a sale on the board, and then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it just perpetuates itself into the point where they just give up because they have so much self-doubt. And that happens a lot of times. So guarding against that and really inputting the right, you know, mindset and maintaining that and just remembering that, hey, every no is just one step closer to a yes. I mean, you may get, you know, 20 no's, but the next one, if you don't ask, you're not going to get the yes by not getting out there and continuing to step forward. Success is getting up one more time than you fall. And that's what you got to do. I mean, you got to fail to be successful. That's really one of the reasons I've been successful, because I've failed so many times. I mean, it's like Michael Jordan, that one thing that I saw on the YouTube, that was masterful, but it's so true how he has, you know, failed so many times and missed so many shots and missed so many game winners. And, you know, that's why he's such a great, was a great ball player, you know, because he, you know, went out there and took the risk and was willing to do what the unsuccessful agents are unwilling to do. See, and that's really one of the things that to me has been one of my big keys to success, is I've always been willing to go the extra mile. I've always been willing to give 110%. And, you know, it's not one of those deals like, well, it's only a $50,000 deal. I mean, I don't care if it's $50,000 or $1.8 million. Okay, I'm giving that same level of service to everybody, because, you know, I found out the $50,000 guy ends up referring me a $400,000, you know, cousin that's buying a $400,000 house, and they refer business to you. Because here again, it's about relationships. One of my agents, he drove across town. I mean, Buckeye, it's probably 40 miles away, and it was a $40,000-$50,000 client looking to buy one of the lower-end REOs, and he drove over there, and he helped these folks out. And they ended up referring him some business for some huge house that he ended up selling over here on the east side. But he was a guy that was willing to do that. And that's what you got to do. You got to go the extra mile, and you got to remember to never give up. And you have to remember that it's going to work out, but you got to believe that it's going to work out, because if you don't believe it, then it's not. It's like they say, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right either way.
You gave me a great quote. You said, "Failure is the price of success, so keep stepping forward." I think that ties into what you just said.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's very true. Yeah, you just got to keep stepping. Just keep stepping. It always works out as long as you don't give up. And you know, interestingly enough, years ago, I mean, another one of the industries that I was in was in the grocery business. I did that in the very beginning, like when I was 16, I started out as a bagger and worked my way up in the management roles and ended up, you know, being in store management. But they would move managers from store to store. You would only stay in a store maybe 1 year, and then they would move you. I worked for Safeway. That was one of the companies I worked with for years. Well, anyway, they would move you. And one of the reasons they would move you is because when you're there, all of a sudden the dust on top of the shelves and everything else just start becoming part of the furniture. and your attitude changes. And what happens is just like agents. Agents who, you know, leave and go to somewhere else, or the only thing that really changes is their attitude. That's it. It's the same job. It's the same everything. But what changes is the attitude. That's the key. Maintain a positive attitude. It's not about where you're at, who you're working for, or all that. It's about what is your attitude, and is it positive, or is it going to be... I mean, anybody can justify anything if they want to. I mean, you can justify and rationalize anything. And if you're going to start painting a picture about how everything is bad, well, guess what? It's going to be bad. One of the key elements that I would recommend that everybody do, and this is something I've done for a while, you know, I do it periodically, but actually I put it out there to some folks, and it's called the Gratitude Challenge. For the next 10 days, go out there and write down every morning 10 things you have to be grateful for. Because now all of a sudden you're going to start your day out with an attitude of gratitude. Just imagine that for a moment, how that's going to feel. When you get up, write down 10 things that you have to be grateful for, rather than rolling out and being on the pity pot about, you know, poor me, or start bitching about something that you have to complain about. No, let's start our day out with an attitude of gratitude. Because we do have a lot to be grateful for, believe me. I mean, I had a friend who was sitting in a meeting, and he's looking down, he's complaining, and he's going on, he's just terribly complaining, and just going on and on and on. And he's wearing these brand new, I mean, $120 tennis shoes. And the guy next to me says, "Nice shoes," as he kind of leans forward and looks down the row, and on the end of the row is a guy with no legs. You get my point. I mean, we have a lot to be grateful for. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the same. It can't be the same every single day. But every day for the next 10 days, write down 10 things you have to be grateful for. You will be absolutely incredibly amazed at what happens to your complete psyche when you wake up and you have this attitude of gratitude. And you start writing down the things that you have to be grateful for.
Joe, do you think the top agent interviews like the one we're doing now are valuable?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anytime that you can get solid information from people that have been successful, and that's been one of the things that I have attributed to the success that I've had, is by having this constant quest for knowledge from other people. I mean, I'm like a knowledge junkie, seriously. It's just I cannot stop, you know, learning, and I spend a lot of time educating myself. I mean, I've taken different courses. I mean, I've done, you know, lots of, you know, designation stuff. I mean, I'm always trying to learn more. And this is a great way for people to plug in and learn from some of the better people in the area that they're focused on, obviously real estate. I commend you for doing this. And when I saw it, I was like, hey, that's something I'd like to be a part of, because I really do love to share and help others, you know, be successful. I mean, it's there for the taking, but you just have to have, you know, the right tools and the right beliefs and the right mindset. I mean, it's not that hard. It really isn't. I mean, it's amazing to me how some people struggle and others thrive. But if you look at the difference between the two, most of the time it's because of the attitude, where, you know, one person is, you know, complaining about, you know, what they didn't have, and other people are out there, you know, being of service and having the right attitude and putting forth the effort necessary.
Well, Joe, you demonstrate the importance of attitude. You see failure as a stepping stone to success. When you stumble, you use inspirational dissatisfaction to drive you forward. You are a testament to persistence, determination, focus, and the rarest of abilities, the ability to change. You are an inspiration to our industry. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month. And join us next time when we talk to an agent who specializes in geographic farming and sold 573 homes last year. Find out who he is on the next Success Call.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.